All right. Question number 20. What if we are guilty of the darkest of sins? And Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Now, often, very often, this is one area where the babe in Christ struggles. The enemy of souls likes to make them think their sins are far too grievous to be forgiven, and so they never confess or they repent them, you know, thinking there's no reason to bother. Yet, numerous times in the scriptures, we see passages like this, where the Lord shows us he can and will forgive them. All you need to do is ask. And, you know, first one, like 1 John chapter 1, verse, yeah, 1 John 1, 9, verse, yeah, verse 1, 9, chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I mean, there's no gray areas there. I mean, it's just simple truth. But let me ask you this. What do most consider to be the worst sin of all? Murder, right? Notice this. Paul stated in Acts chapter 22, verse 4, and then verses 19 and 20. He said this, "I persecuted this way unto death." And when he's talking about this way, he's talking about the Christian church. When it first started out, he persecuted Christians unto death, right? And then he says, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And I said, "Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believe on thee. And when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I was also standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him." And yes, blasphemy is a pretty bad sin too, but it can be forgiven, just like any other sin, except for blaspheming the Holy Spirit, but that's a whole other topic. So, but anyway, here Paul not only admits to persecuting the early Christian church to the point of placing men and women in prison, he also admits to killing them for their faith. But as we all know, Paul was not only forgiven, he was used of God to write most of the New Testament Bible. If this man, a murderer, could be forgiven and used of God, why would not the same Lord forgive and use you to further the work in these last days? And this is one of the reasons a lot of people like to attack Paul, and they use this as their foundation or reasoning for doing so, that where they think they have the right. A lot of people, and there's a big movement today saying that Paul is a false prophet or a false teacher. If that were so, there'd be a lot more people out there for the last 2,000 years. You know, I mean, come on, how many billions and billions of Christians have read the scriptures in the last 2,000 years alone? And there's only a very small number of people that say they've got proof that Paul's a false prophet, because he first killed the Christians, and then he figured, well, he can't beat them, so he's going to join them and sneak in from behind and destroy them internally. But here's the problem. When you have the Holy Spirit, you have discernment. This is one of the reasons the Bereans are mentioned in Scripture. They test what the new preachers are saying to see if these things are so. They go back and forth into the Scriptures. And in their day, all they had was the Old Testament. And so, if Paul really was a false prophet or a false teacher, it had been found out 10 times over by now, or 1,000 times over by now. It had been found out. And those of us that have discernment unto this day would have seen it. And the fact that his theology and his doctrines match up with the Old Testament as well as New Testament statements of Christ himself as he was walking among us. You know, if you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can verify all this. But anyway, the bottom line is, why wouldn't this same Lord forgive us and use us to do this mighty work that he wants us to do if he's using a guy that used to kill Christians? I mean, truth is, brothers and sisters, the fact he does forgive our sins is what actually brings about the deepest joy any Christian can attain to. If we simply take him at his word and forsake our sins, he has clearly promised that he is ready and willing to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will actually give us a pure heart and the steadfast presence of his Holy Spirit to keep us close by, because Jesus lives to intercede for us. But we must always remember that spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Paul also stated in 1 Corinthians 15:31 that I die daily, he said. This faith we walk is, it has to be a living faith that discerns the will of the Lord in order to gain this salvation. And it's quite easy to discern it if we stay in the Word daily and are often found upon our knees, and every time that we slip up and we mess up, we die of self. This is why he said, I die daily. You know, because you give up parts of the, you know, your life. There's certain things you just won't do anymore. If you're a Christian, you won't hang with people. You won't, with certain people. I mean, you can be friends with everybody. There's nothing wrong with that. You can be very a likable person and have all sorts of opportunities to share your faith with all sorts of different people. But hanging out with them and living with them and marrying them and, you know, and stuff like that. You know, no, this is, you know, there's a lot of areas in scriptures where, you know, bad company corrupts godly character, and it does it every time. But a lot of people test that and end up being corrupted and end up going to hell. You know, when hell gets here, they're going to have to deal with that. Because I don't get that, though. I don't understand why, if it says in the Bible, don't do something, and people do it anyway, and figure, I'll repent of it later. What if you die during that act? You know, it's just amazing how some people don't really think. But it was, especially the young people, I'm not going to die. I remember when I was a young guy. Yeah, I'm not going to die. You're invincible. You did stupid things when you were a kid, and you got away with it. Even though some of your friends all around you are dying. You know, everything from overdosing to getting hit by cars, walking down the road. I've lost three friends like that. So no matter how close we get to him, to Jesus, we must always understand and never forget that it's not because we are righteous, but because we are dependent, we are faulty, we are erring, we are helpless children, and it is Christ our righteousness. We must rely solely upon Jesus Christ, his righteousness, not ours at all in any way, shape, or form. We can't assume that certain scriptures in the Word aren't for us, or it doesn't apply to us in some way or some shape or manner or whatever. I mean, it is this type of faith that causes the fathers to see we could be trusted and used by him in a mighty way if we stay on the path and we follow him 100%. And when we do that, even if it's hard, because sometimes it's hard to be a Christian, you know, and I'm not saying that it's, because a lot of people say that and they walk away and they figure the grass is greener on the other side, and it never is. But what I mean by it being hard to be a Christian, it's not all, you know, like there's sometimes you got difficult duties. I mean, look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 14, where it talks about, like, someone that is a brother or a sister in Christ that walks off the path, and they refuse to acknowledge their sin, and you brought it to their attention because of what you did with Matthew 18, you know, verses 15 through 17. You did all you could to share with your brother or your sister that they're in sin. And if they deny it, what does the Bible say? Treat them like the heathen. Look at, and then you go to 1 Corinthians 3:14. You're supposed to turn away and walk away from them. That can be very difficult sometimes, especially when you love these people. So, we got a duty as Christians. And it's difficult, yes. And a lot of people say, I can't see the good behind it. Well, you don't question. You don't question your God. You don't, any way, shape, or form. You don't question. You just do what he says, and you'll be blessed for it. And even if you don't see, you know, like when we walked away from people, but others didn't, and so these people actually think there's nothing wrong with their walk. And so we don't see any good in us walking away, but that doesn't matter. We're still going to get the blessings because we're obeying our Father. If they don't want to obey him, that's fine. They're going to stay on the same rung of the ladder and may even go down a couple of pegs or actually end up going to hell because they're neglecting the Lord's instruction and they're denying him. They're denying him as Lord, in fact. Because to be Lord means he has control over your life. You're allowing him that control. You're granting him. You're letting go and letting God. But if you do what he says to do, then you have these amazing gifts later. Regardless of your friend finding that they, you know, are now ashamed and they have decided to get back on the path or not, that doesn't make a difference. If you're obedient, the blessings will continue and the Lord can see he can trust you. Even if it's somebody you love, you turn your back on them. And look at what about the one, if you don't leave mother, brother, sister, father, you know, all that stuff, you know, you're not worthy of Christ's love if you can't turn your back on your own loved ones, your parents, your siblings, your spouses and whatnot. And no, I'm not saying leave them, because you can't unless there's adultery involved. But, you know, you could turn your back on their methods, the ways they live, and still be in the same house. You're locked in. What are you going to do? And then you're blessed for it. The Lord sees you passing the test. And then the other gifts that he has planned for you will be yours for the taking. And then he might even be able to use you as part of the Gideon band, because you passed that test. So, amen. I mean, as you read his word, receive each word as if they were addressed to you personally. You know, try not to think of it, because I have a tendency to do this sometimes, especially if I'm in Psalms and Proverbs, and I'll see, you know, statements being made about people that used to be part of our number, or people that are part of my number, or even siblings and children and everybody that I know in life. And sometimes you go, oh, well, that's him, or that's her, that's him. No, don't do that. Even though sometimes, okay, the Lord may give you a word and say, give this scripture to so-and-so. That happened to me a few times in life, and it does bless the people when you hand it to them. It says, look, the Lord told me to give you this Bible verse. I don't know what's going on in your life. All I know is he said, give this to you. And it's a blessing, you know, most of the time. But the better way of doing it would be with the scriptures, as you're going through them, apply them to yourself. Are you passing these areas? Are you passing these tests? You know, because I know I fail in a lot of areas. And, you know, it's just part of striving onto that perfection. The areas that I do know that I should stop, I stop. And the areas that I'm weak in, I ask him for help. I mean, when you apply this truth to yourself that you find in Scripture, you're going to learn to claim the faith and claim by faith the virtues or the merits of the blood of your crucified and risen Savior and King. The enemy of souls has convinced so many people to feel their faults, or, you know, to concentrate on their sinfulness, and so as to make it impossible for them to meet the standard that Christ has set before us. You know, he keeps on reminding them of their sins or whatever. But this is the beauty of this love we have in Christ. All we need to do is humble ourselves at every step on the path, and we're going to be blessed. And for those of you that think you need to break your backs doing extra work for the Lord, keep in mind that our God does not appraise the man by the amount of work he does, but by the spirit in which he does the work. This is why I always stated, even decades ago, that even if you're cleaning toilets for a living, do it in a way that glorifies the Lord. Because the bottom line is, your God has allowed you to be employed in that position for a multitude of reasons. It could be to teach you to be humble. It could be to teach you others at work on how to be humble. You could be their example, in other words. You know, they know you're a Christian. They know you're of strong moral character, and you're cleaning toilets, and people might even ridicule and stuff like that, and it doesn't bother you. People are watching, and they're being blessed. And so, or even if you end up in jail. I remember one time I was looking at some heavy time behind bars, I was a very young Christian. I had just dedicated my life, but I was still dealing with things I did in my past, and I was still going through court and all this other stuff. And I thought, Father God, if you want me to go, there must be someone in there you want me to talk to. I made a decision that day that I'll go if he wants me to go. And then because I made a decision, and it was already, I mean, it wasn't just like, what if? No, it was absolute, because this new judge was a hanging judge. And it was the most amazing thing I ever witnessed. It was a complete turnaround. The people, even in the courtroom, were a little bit taken aback the way the judge responded. And not only dismissed my case completely, dropped the fine, everything. I was a free man when I walked out of that courtroom, even though I didn't get it. Well, I ended up in jail for a day or two at the start of it all, but, you know, you get bailed out and stuff like that. But the thing is, it was amazing, because the Lord knew. He says, okay, he said he'd go, but he doesn't have to go right now. Could it be that I'll end up going later? I don't know. You know, because we know what's going on in the world right now. We know the way our government is designed. Even the military now is declaring Christians are considered terrorists now. Our United States military has declared in writing, and they're teaching their subordinates that Christians are terrorists in this country. They're doing that right now. I just put the article on the site a couple, 3 days ago. And I know some of the leaders in the military says, okay, we're going to back off on that position. But you know, they say that publicly in the public arena. But behind closed doors, ask anybody that's in the military. They ain't going to change their message. They're going to continue to preach that. And, you know, or let's say you're cleaning toilets, and it could be to teach those in your own home how to be humble. I mean, your Lord is watching you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 60 seconds every minute. When he sees you, you know, literally sees you displaying a humble spirit with distrust of self and with reliance upon him for all your needs, he will eventually add to your work his heavenly perfection and sufficiency so as to better glorify him in the work. And as the Lord instructed Isaiah to pen those words, he instructs you to walk this walk as well. And the words I'm talking about, of course, is Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they be as wool. You know, the answer to the question that we're on right now. If obedient, your sins are washed away, then your walk is blessed as promised. It is here that we learn to strive on to that perfection, that we will see, hopefully, bring us to that position. We're going to be part of that number of the Gideon band that will glorify the Lord before the entire universe. So amen to that. And so let's see if we can do question number 21, maybe even 22. I don't know. But question 21 says, he will do this for us upon what two conditions? And it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't know, maybe I got the wrong verse here. Is it Isaiah 1:19? It's Isaiah 1:19. So thank you for putting it in the room there, brother. I'll have to correct this here later in my notes. But that's pretty amazing when you look at that. Isaiah 1:19, for those of you listening on the phone. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. And there it is. I mean, this is the one verse that I would think would bless quite a few people, as well as 1 John 1:9, where, you know, it says to confess. But that's only one thing. You just got to confess and trust him, of course. But, in today's world, most people grow up with being beaten and ridiculed by their parents whenever they do something wrong, or their parents insist they do some strange and difficult task as a way to receive their forgiveness. But if you're just willing, and literally willing, that's the big change. I mean, that's the big difference. A lot of people can't get past that. I don't know if they could be obedient without being willing. You know, I mean, you got to be willing first, and then of course the obedience will be the end result of a desire in the heart. But not a lot of people are willing. I mean, they say they want to be. I mean, even Paul said, you know, the flesh is willing. I mean, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Because a lot of people, and I remember when I was a young Christian, I had this same mindset. I wanted to be obedient. I was very willing to be obedient, but I couldn't quite do it. And even like before I met Jesus, I tried for, well, I've shared before, I was reading the Bible for 18 months before I, you know, found Jesus. And during those 18 months, I tried everything I could to clean up my act. I was as willing as I could get in my mind, but I wasn't obedient. I was very willing, but I did not have the power to be obedient because I had not the Spirit. And I thank him and I praise his name for that, giving me and granting me that extra help that I was so craving and crying for. And because when I thought, you know, okay, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, and before you know it, I'm doing it anyway. And there's so many people out there that are trying to be good Christians. And I know, and I get the calls on a regular basis and the emails, and they keep saying, I keep doing this, I keep messing up here, I keep messing up there. I said, well, you got to be completely willing. You can't just be willing up to a certain point, you know, like with most denominations today, like most religions. It says in the Bible that alcohol defiles the body. They don't want to hear that, and so they're going to twist the daylights out of the scriptures and make it look like it's okay. They'll even get the government to say that drinking a little wine every day is good for your heart. And that's not true. They'll say it's true. They'll come up with some strange documentation. You're not a doctor. You can't verify it. And even if you were, you're only going to base your verification by previous doctors who have verified it and where they get their data from, too. But it's an overwhelmingly apparent fact. Alcohol defiles the body in Scripture. And so they're willing up to that point. You know, or they'll claim Jesus is Lord to everyone they can. But if someone like us was to walk up to him and says, look, it's an amazing, like the guy that has that ministry that used to be a Hollywood sitcom kid, and it's Way of the Master or something like that. That guy has a zeal. At least it looks like he's got a zeal. You know, it could very well be that he's, I mean, come on, they're Hollywood. And they are very good at acting, and acting is nothing but lying. So he could be acting like a Christian for all we know. And he's got a lot of good inside information on how to share with people that they got to keep the Ten Commandments on the street. And he does a very wonderful job because he's done a lot of good research on that. But you walk up to him, and he's only going to be willing up to a certain point. Because some of us here in our number have emailed him and let him know. He says, look, you've got a wonderful message. You might want to go a little further with it because commandment number 4 is being broken and you're teaching people to break God's law. And then you're showing those New Testament scriptures wherein it says that. He's not willing and he's not obedient. And he, you know, yeah, that's what, yeah. Ray Comfort and Kirk Cameron. Thanks, James. Those are the guys. I think Ray seems to be a little bit more of, if I was going to pick which one of these guys was the actual Christian that is being used of the Lord, even, because the Lord's going to wink at his ignorance just like he winked at ours when we were Sunday keepers, like some of us. I used to be a Sunday keeper, and the Lord winked at my stuff a lot because I was still able to explain things on the street in a way that I knew it was his spirit moving. But when it came to the law, I never touched on it on the street. And but Cameron, he'll just throw celebrityhood in there once in a while to talk and give comfort, Ray Comfort, that that, you know, public relations boost or that media boost that he needs for his videos and his work that he's doing. But yeah, they have been approached and let him know. Says, look, you're breaking commandment number 4 and you're teaching others to do also. What does it say about people that do that in the kingdom? You know, they're not going to be in the kingdom of God. You're not willing or obedient. But they're, well, no, wait, he is willing up to a certain point. And it's just like, even in the common man, let's just say, like those of us that aren't in Hollywood, the common man, let's say, or aren't in politics, or aren't in royalty, the common man, like you and me, all of us. And let's just say that we're in a Sunday-keeping church, and we're very, very strong Christians to the best of our ability, but then the truth comes and makes its way known unto us in regards to the seventh-day Sabbath. We're willing, but we're not going to be obedient up to that point because then we're going to lose our connections in the church. We're going to lose our friends in the church, our loved ones in the church. And this was somewhat of a test, I think, for a nanosecond for me and Fran when we came across, because we started out in the Sunday-keeping churches when we left the Catholic Church, and it eventually got to the point where I'm on the pulpit now in the Sunday-keeping church. And then the Lord tested me on one area, and would I leave this church? And this was before I even knew about the Sabbath. And, you know, would I put him first? Even, you know, because I'm not looking at it as a career. It's a calling. And if I'm, and I look at it and I see there's certain things happening in the church that can't be happening. And I approach the pastor. And even though this man was instrumental in getting me on that pulpit, and I could be on that pulpit every week now because we had a 3-meeting week, and so every week I had, you know, an opportunity to be there on the pulpit. And it's not a power trip. It's not a career trip or none of that stuff. I was just loving the idea. I was out, you know, to share the truth. But I couldn't condone. I couldn't be part of the confusion that he was bringing into the church. The test was put forth. We left. And you know, as soon as we knew that he was not going to bow to that, which what is written. And this is what we got to be. We got to be willing and obedient. And that's why I pray for guys like Ray Comfort and Kirk Cameron and all the others out there, even the people that used to be part of our number. A lot of them are willing, but they're not obedient in many areas when it comes to, especially when it comes to doing what the Word says to do, when it comes to people stepping off the path. It's our duty to step up and warm them, or their blood will be on our hands. It's very clear in Ezekiel. And so I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. Be back in a minute.